Today's shear, I think, will be, I hope, non-controversial, but I want to hear what you guys have to say about this, because I actually have not been able to completely wrap my head around this idea, and I'll explain to you what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about getting the vaccine. Is there a chiyuv for, specifically I'm talking about you guys, because you're a little bit farther away than I am, number one, in terms of age, but in terms of when you're going to get the vaccine. I don't know if there's any plans here in Israel, unless you couldn't go to the army. But the question is, once that time comes, certainly something I considered, do you have to get it? Should you get it? What's the point? So a number of different rabbis have weighed in on this. Rav Schechter, just recently, about a week ago, gave a something called Torah Web. Somebody used to live in the community I used to live in Bergenfield. Rabbi Judah Diamond has this wonderful organization where the rabbis go around and they speak about topics. So obviously with COVID, this was done on Zoom, and hundreds of people join and they speak about different inyanim. So he spoke about the vaccine. So first of all, unfortunately, Rav Schechter's story is a very sad story, those that don't know. Rav Schechter and Ray Willig have these amazing pictures of them encouraging people to get the vaccine, and they're a video of them getting the vaccine. And then Rav Schechter even says afterwards, what we discussed last week about saying bracha, atov emeitiv, he said. And a few days later, the place that they got the vaccine is in some serious legal trouble. They received the vaccines illegally, this place in Borough Park. So Rav Schechter started this year by saying, obviously, if we knew, we actually both independently checked to make sure it was kosher, and we thought that this was totally okay. Obviously, we never would have gotten it. We would have waited our turn. It does make sense, as we know, that there are people, right, like Mayor, and there was a big picture, you know, obviously of Biden getting it, and all different types of people get it. So there are situations where they give it to people who are not, you know, for whatever reason, and it made sense that this would encourage a community in any case. Rav Schechter goes on to explain that he thinks that it's a chiyuv on one hand, although qualifies the chiyuv. So for example, he tells over a beautiful idea in Chazal. We know that Bnei Yisrael, during the entire time of the Midbar, did not have a bris milah. Right, we know that the famous you should make chavot surim, that they should be had milos. So how can it be? So it seems that there was some sort of sakana, right? And based on the pashas of the Gemara, says Rav Schechter, this is the way we understand, because of the winds, maybe because of the I don't know if you realize here what's going on. You know, at night it gets very windy. I know in the morning, now that I daven outside every morning, so every morning my shtender, I have to clean my shtender. It's got dust all over it because it's windy, right? So maybe because of that, you're in the desert, it was considered to be dangerous. But we learned that Shevet Levi always had the bris milah. So there he spoke about the concept of what they called Shomer Psayim Hashem, where can a person decide for himself and say, no, I want to take the risk. It's okay with me. And that might depend, he marshals a Chassam Sofer as well, about does a person have a chiyuv to go ahead and take it. Now, what's clear to him is that there is a overwhelming majority of doctors. Now, I happen to, I don't want to say the word disagree with Rav Schechter. I happen to question Rav Schechter's knowledge, meaning those people that are feeding him knowledge. I understand that any gadol, unfortunately, and that we're going to show the difference between him and Rav Asher Weiss in a moment, but any gadol who's getting information, it's a very difficult idea, right? Because obviously the person is not an expert in the field of medicine, and they realize that, right? As Rav Asher Weiss pointed out himself, as Rav Asher Weiss said, if we didn't go with secular knowledge, 50% of the Shulchan Aruch would be ripped out, right? Secular knowledge is so important. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik speaks so much about the concept of Torah Mada, that if a person doesn't understand Mada, he can't even learn Gemara. You won't understand anything if you don't understand secular knowledge. But furthermore, secular knowledge, as I pointed out on today's lessons from the Lev, we'll quote in a moment the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael writes, first of all, a very famous commentary on the Mishnayos. So in Avos, on the famous, in Perek Gimel, it says, Chavivim Adam Shenivir Betzela, right? That thank God that people were created Betzela. So it happens to be right here, so how can I not quote it? So we're so lucky that that man was created in God's image. We believe that everyone is in God's image, and we have to be very careful to recognize that. However, right, Chavivim Yisrael, we're very lucky because we are considered to be Banim Lamakom. We're on an even higher level, that we're considered to be so close to the Ribbono Shalom that we are considered to be Banim Lamakom. Mishnah Yudalud. Hu Haya Omer. So, Rabbi Yekiva says, Chaviv Modem Shinuver Betzalim, Chaviv Yisera Noidelo Shabar Betzalim Shinever Betzalim Makim Nivaradam. Right? I think I might have told this before, but Rav Nevenzahl, I remember when I would go ask him a question, so he would be sitting, and I didn't want to show kavod, I didn't want to sit, so to show kavod, I would stand, and he would stand up, and I'm like, oh, because I'm chashuv, you know? So I once asked him, what's this game, you know, you stand up, then I sit down, you sit down, he says, you're Tzelem Elokim. How can I not treat you appropriately? You say that we're called Banim Lamakom. So the Tiferes Yisrael comments on that there's a concept called Chasidei Umas Ha'olam. There are great non-Jewish Gentiles who we have to praise. For example, the inventor of the vaccine for smallpox in his day. And he gives his name. And he says, other chasidei umas oilam. Scharu li oilam haba. Al shiyitzah, because look at their schar is called oilam haba. For thousands and thousands of people, and obviously in this case, millions of people, will be vaccinated and will live because of Mr. Pfizer. Right? Right. So it's an amazing thing. Rav Asher Weiss actually was asked the question. There were firm people working on the Pfizer vaccine. Can they work over Shabbos? Right? What a remarkable question. Now, the answer seemingly would be, of course, when it comes to Pekuach Nefesh, it's always Doicha Shabbos. He was just questioning if this guy had to work on Shabbos. Meaning, for example, the guy that's working on it, right? There's nobody working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this guy verified that. You always get time off. So why, Dafka, do you want to work on Shabbos? Make your time off Shabbos. So it didn't seem like it was mamash pekuach nefesh, that if this guy's not there at that time... Right, exactly. There's going to be another day, it's going to take another... No, that's not what it is, he thought. So he says, it was a very hard child, he said. But there are great people who are inventing the vaccines. It happens to be, I'm sure you guys saw the meme saying, you know, dear BDS supporters... Please make sure not to take the vaccine because Pfizer is the CEO is a Jew, and Moderna, the person who invented it, one of the head scientists, is from Tel Aviv University, another Jew. You know, so don't have anything to do with it, right? So, however, there are many non-Jews that are involved, and we have to give great schar to them for inventing it. Rav Asher Weiss says this. Says Rav Shester. Overwhelmingly, over 50% of the doctors believe that the vaccine has zero ill effects and there's no issues. Now, the reason why I question this, I spoke to a doctor yesterday, and my friend Avi, and he says that it's not like almost 50. It's not like 60-40. It's not even close. Again, says Rav Shechter, you can only take doctors that are experts in this field. And this is a huge problem in this case, right? Question is, do I go like my family doctor, right? And I'm like that. My wife called because there was a rumor spreading around Ramat Beit Shemesh that, unfortunately, I don't know if you know what's going on. I don't know if they've told you, but Ramat Beit Shemesh has been hit very, very hard over the last few weeks with Corona. Very hard. This Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph, unfortunately, just as an example, somebody came home from England. Recently, and infected their entire block. It's crazy. Over by Dolev and the Sun Gardens area, and people get it. It's a bad strain of it. So they're very sick. And I think every block, we have on our block somebody that's sitting in Bidud, and my daughter and my son were just got out of Bidud. I just found out a friend of mine, because we almost didn't have a minion this morning, him and his son are in Bidud because their son is tested positive for Corona. It's crazy around here. So there was a rumor spreading that said we got the first shot, that if you get the first shot, automatically if you get a corona test, you're going to come out positive. So, and a real doctor said this. A real doctor. He happened to be a cardiologist, but he said this. So my wife got scared because she had to be corona tested because once my daughter was in Bidud, we had been with my wife, as I told you, works in a nursing home. They're very, very extra careful. They said, don't come to the nursing home until you're tested. So she went to go get tested. And then she says, oh my gosh, I heard this rumor. If I come out positive. So we spoke to our family doctor, and our family doctor said that's absolute not true. We happened to be, we had spoken to another doctor at the same time. That being said, I'm sure you heard this before. There's this rumors going around about fertility issues, that girls shouldn't have it. So that is somewhat unfounded, because by any new drug, you're going to say, well, yes, I don't have 10 years of research. Of course we don't.
It hasn't been around for
long. Right, it hasn't been around long enough. But that doesn't, it doesn't make, it, the logic doesn't make sense. It's saying, well, because it hasn't been around, we might as well wait and not do it. It's almost like a new food was invented. Don't, you never know, right? And Rav Schechter actually quotes this idea. Rav Schechter says, he says, we generally don't always follow doctor's orders. And this is a hard question to answer. But the doctors tell us constantly not to eat certain types of food, and we eat it all the time. And people are overweight, even though they're like, well, I'm Jewish overweight, so it's okay, I'm not obese. That's obese to them isn't good. But overweight, everybody's up. So we're ready not, we don't listen to the doctors all the time. So there you can kind of, that's a little bit different. Again, we don't have, we're not smoking, we're not having something that you know, we're having certain foods that are not so appropriate. What?
Also, you're not putting anyone else in danger by eating.
You're just putting yourself in danger.
More food
right, excellent. Excellent. So that's an interesting question that you raise. And this is something I'm trying to wrap my head around, okay? And I want your help with this. If I decide not to get vaccinated, why? Right, no, so it's interesting that you say that. I'm not going to quote any names. But the question is that really true? So I don't understand how you can call, certainly the word rodef, or as I heard the name used, makas mardes, you'll be chayv makas. I don't understand for a moment. So, but please hear the logic, and I want you to help me with this. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know the answer to this, and I asked the doctor yesterday to understand this. Okay. You decide you're a strapping 19-year-old boy, and you don't want to get vaccinated. Why? Because you know that betachlis, if you get it, how bad is it going to be? Again, the research shows most probably, again, there is a possibility it will be bad, but it most probably won't be so bad. Okay? So explain to me why you have to be vaccinated.
Because then I can't go. If I don't get vaccinated, I can't go around other people who are, who could be
dangerous. You could be going around killing people who aren't vaccinated.
So the only reason why you're saying is because of other people who aren't vaccinated, but they're also violating the law. Meaning, I'm nervous. I'm not nervous. You're saying I'm not nervous about you. I'm nervous about grandma and grandpa.
I also probably wouldn't do so great. I have asthma, so that probably wouldn't go so great with
what?
COVID. I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, fine. 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 I chose the wrong person. Right. But yeah.
Because of medical issues, they can't get vaccinated.
No, so that's not true. That's incorrect. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100% true.
What? 100% not true. What medical issues? Yeah, go ahead. Say allergies. Say. Allergies?
Either high allergies.
No. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Or low immune systems.
Okay, so this is what I understood. This is from a doctor I spoke to and Rav Osher Weiss, who said this. Rav Osher Weiss, understand, he's not a doctor. You came a little late, but he's the head rabbi of Shari Tzedek Hospital.
Yeah.
So he's spoken to a lot. And the reason why I very much respect what he says, and I'll tell you in a moment why I question it a little bit, we spoke about that it's very important to get information from the right sources. The perfect example of this is what I just spoke out, that there's this rumor going around that girls who are 20 years old, they should definitely not get the vaccine because of fertility issues.
Yes.
Right. Why? Because, again, the fake media is so easy. Once you spread a rumor, you're going to have to work too hard to dispel the rumor that by dispelling it, it'll be like, it doesn't sound good. There's no research out. Of course there's not. In fact, my doctor friend said to me, very funny, that the protein that's in the vaccine, I don't remember the name of it, but it sounds very similar to the protein that hooks on the umbilical cord to the fetus. And because the names sound the same, you know, series... Okay, so we know that that's ridiculous. But what I understood, and my nephew actually, who's only 17 years old, maybe 18, who got the vaccine yesterday, so his doctor, his family doctor, he works in Shalva. So Shalva said, which a lot of places are doing, my daughter has the same situation, she volunteers for Zichron Menachem, they said, we don't want anybody in our facility until you get vaccinated, and we have special vaccines for you, right? So you could tell them they're not special care workers. Okay, they're considered to be a sug of. And here in Israel, it's for some reason much, much easier to get a vaccine. Even I got a vaccine because, you know, originally I thought I was getting it because I'm a teacher. Which you're like, no, but you don't. You're not really a teacher. You were fine. Fine. Anyway, you don't work here. Rabbo is like, lo, anyway, so his family doctor said my nephew is highly allergic. He has a lot of different allergies. Nebuch, he's gone to the hospital. EpiPen, the whole nine yards. And they researched it a little more. So here's the interesting point. What is considered to be a mumcha? Rav Schechter jokes in his shir, right? You know, we're not going to take a podiatrist, who's obviously not for this purpose a doctor, some would argue he's not a doctor, but chlal, you know, like in this area, he's like, oh, you know, my dentist told me you're a dentist, right? So he says, but even a, he called it a baby doctor, but even, you know, the kid's doctor, the question is, what expertise do you have on this? You read articles, and because you're a doctor, you're, I'm not sure. The question is, don't we go with, right? For example, who gives his Motzei Shabbos lecture about this every single week, a Dr. Glad, who's head of a hospital's infectious diseases? Or do we go with Dr. Fauci, because he knows what he's talking about? Now, in this case, as it turned out, from what I understand, again, I'm so far away from being a doctor that, you know, I couldn't even play one on TV. So, but my understanding is, and he got the vaccine, that what they said, and what the importance is that you have to stay there for 15 to 20 minutes to see if you have any reaction. And if you do, again, unless it's a very chari case, which I actually will agree with you, unless the it's so, you know, anything could, they know about that already. And then you probably won't get the vaccine. That's correct. But in his case, we're talking about a sesame allergy, this allergy. They didn't think, and they said, you'll stay over. And if something happens, you won't die. We'll be able to treat you. Right. You should be okay.
What they basically said was that if you know you're allergic to a specific thing with a high degree, like let's say you're highly allergic to peanuts, then it's okay.
Uh-huh.
If you're allergic to
vaccines,
if you're allergic to many things, then it's possible that you'll find out you're allergic
to them. I understood that there are people who are actually allergic to, that's the first thing they ask, your antibiotics. So it's like, those, that they're scared of, because this is a new thing.
I used to be allergic.
That's true. Yeah. So that they might ask you. But the key question here, let's just go back to, sorry, the debate that I was having with you about this. Now, what they don't know yet, from what I understand, is, and this is mamish, this doesn't get more key than this information. So now, Daniel Hartstein, this is a terrible thing. Daniel Hartstein is 46 years old, gets the vaccine. Not, I'm going to tell you what's terrible in a second. Not that I got the vaccine. And on January 15th, I get the second dose. And on January 26th, I'm just making up, I go to America. And this is the Nebuch part, right? So now I show up to my parents' house. I'm vaccinated. It's all amazing. My parents, Nebuch, because they live in America, who's obviously a third world country at this point, are not going to be, if they're lucky, they're going to be vaccinated at the end of February, right? Right? February, my parents have a date, February 30th. No, I'm kidding. So, no. Nobody knows what's going on. So now you would assume that I could visit my parents right away.
You have to wait a week after the second.
No, a week, yeah. I purposely said a week after. So now, here's the problem. What they have not proven yet, I'm going on the plane. On the plane, somebody has COVID, right? He gives it to me. And my body's like, yo, what's up, COVID? Boom, 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 shakalaka, right, whatever. But now I get off the plane, I have COVID on me. They have not been able to prove whether or not I can give it to somebody else. So therefore, the logic of me having to take a vaccine.
You also have to have the vaccine.
Right. If we both had the vaccine, shalom al Yisrael. But if I didn't have the vaccine and I saw my parents who had the vaccine, isn't it the same thing? I'm not talking about the 5%. I get the 5%.
Yeah, because then they can give you corona.
Right.
One of the long-term effects of an RNA vaccine.
Yeah, that's
right.
Say it one more time.
The long-term effects. And the thing we don't know is the long-term effects of an RNA.
Right, but that's not a reason to, meaning that's,
because there's never been, this
correct.
Right, so you don't get it. So what, you're going to wait now 50 years to get it?
No, but I'm just saying.
That is exactly.
Haven't done anything before, doesn't mean that we can't predict
what's going to happen. Right, you're 100% right. The logic, your logic is correct in terms of people, by the way, unfortunately now, who were stricken with COVID, they're now, right, we're almost a year after, and now they're seeing effects, whether they're effects on the men, infertility issues or kidney issues or so on and so forth. Obviously, this is not, they didn't take a vaccine or anything. But it's obviously going to take a long time. I just wanted to quote one important source, and that is that Rav Usher Weiss quotes this Rav Avram Hamburg, who is the Rav of Hague as well as London. He's one of the Gedolei Rabbanim. He has a sefer where he compiles different letters from Gedolim speaking about the fact that, again, this is not the same example, but it's an important example. When they came out with different vaccines, for example, the smallpox vaccine, which literally saved lives, not as similar as this, because people were mamish, everybody was dying. But he said that even though at the point, when the vaccine first came out, there was a high percentage of death. This is a very important fact here. Nobody, listen carefully, you could fight me on this, it's fine. Nobody died yet. Nobody died of the corona vaccine. People died. Yeah. People died. People died. Like just, was it yesterday? Somebody in Israel got the vaccine and 2 hours later dropped dead.
Yeah. What?
Right?
That's the thing, when you vaccinated.
Wait, listen. And it was all over TV.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
And every TV station told the story because they love news. And they brought them to the thing. And then under their breath, the guy said, oh, and by the way, the guy had cardiac problems for many, many weeks before this and years before this. And he probably died and it had nothing to do with it. That doesn't sound so good in the story. So right. Now, we know that the trial that they did on 80,000 people, 40,000 real, 40,000, more people died of taking the placebo. Obviously, they didn't die of it,
right,
than did of that. There are people who died of it. Again, there are people who also got pregnant because of it. Oh, that shows that you can get pregnant?
No.
It's not a riot. So, however, in the case of this Rav Hamburg, there was a percentage. Imagine if you knew, I'm saying that life would be much different, if they say like this. You can take the corona vaccine, but there's a 5% chance, very, very small, 5% chance by taking the vaccine you will die, life would be a lot different. The 95% obviously we're talking about is that it will be effective. Nobody will die of it. Even then, he brought all these gedolim who said 100%, you still have to get the vaccine even though there is a sakana. And he quotes the Sheol Tzuchus Zera Emes, where he spends a lot of time, he calls him the Rabbi Shmuel HaKohen Gadol. He says, even though there is a sakana, but it's a sakana rechoka, and you could put yourself in suffix sakana for a suffix that you'll even need it. It's more important to take it. That's what he said. Yeah, go ahead. Questions?
I don't understand the question. Why would there be a side to say not to get it?
Oh, so the side to... So there's a kal v'chomer here, right? I'm just using Rav Usher Weiss's logic, which I think is a fair logic. When it came to, I think it was a smallpox. When it came to the smallpox vaccine, right? If this vaccine, God forbid, was so close to being good, but it's not perfect, and even if I give the word 98% of the people will live, 2% of the people will actually die from taking the vaccine, right? Obviously, Baruch Hashem, we're very lucky, is that the vaccine does not have any live agents of corona in it. But let's say it, right? The same idea, by the way, of saying, you gave a perfect example, of saying, well, I'm 19 years old, I'm 20 years old, what, I don't need to take it. And they'd be like, well, actually, we do know of small amount of cases, obviously people with asthma, whatever it might be, of there being serious complications with people who got corona. So you can't just walk around saying, I don't care. What?
Those are people who had no health issues.
Yeah, correct. So Rav Usher Weiss's logic is a kal v'chomer logic. When there was a percentage, I don't know what the percentage was, but a higher percentage, I'm saying at least probably 5%, that people would die of it. Even then, they said, even though you might not get smallpox, but how can you not? He felt here that a person definitely, as Rav Schechter said, even if it was 51 to 49, right, you still have to get vaccinated. And that's not the case. Rav Schechter thought, he said that in the hospital that his daughter is a nurse, which now I've heard these type of stories, I don't know if it's this extreme, 50% of the nurses didn't want to get the vaccine. And in some of the hospitals, they were all these stuff that's been coming up. Maybe right? And people got nervous about it. Now, we know that Baruch Hashem, for the people like myself who have gotten it, right? There are some effects like, I'll give you an example. My son, this is crazy part of living in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, the reason why vaccination is a lot easier here is because they do it for kids in school. So now, you could be a smart parent, unlike the Hartsteins. All you need to do is your son has a booklet of chisonim. They have a booklet of vaccinations. So I'm talking about, you know, the flu shot, but real things. MMR, you know, like measles, right, all that fun stuff. And one day in school, usually they'll announce it before, these nurses come in, this place called Natalie, and they come in and they give all the kids shots. Now, stupid Americans. In the beginning of the year, they said, please make sure to bring it in. The teacher will keep it in the school safe. So, and we brought it in. We didn't know. Turned out 90% of the class never brought it in. And all of a sudden, the Natalie lady comes. It's during Corona. She hasn't come for it. And she says, oh, the flu shot. They're about 2 months late in the flu shot. We haven't given the flu shot out. Who wants the flu shot? And they're like, well, no. All the kids are like, no, we don't want it. And they look in the safe and they see, oh, Avishai Hartstein. He has the shkoyach. Kids don't want a shot. The kids don't want it. So why the parents didn't bring it in? I think it's fair. There are some parents who don't want the flu, meaning I haven't gotten the flu shot. I don't know if that's the right thing. But anyway, listen. Listen. So now my son...
People die from the flu every year in America?
My son... Same amount of people have grown up. No, I'm kidding. So right, that was the beginning. Yeah. So listen. So my son gets the shot, and he's like, I don't want to get the shot. So the lady says, you know what? Can you imagine? She's talking to whatever how old he is, 8-year-old kid, and says like this to him. Avishai, you have a choice. Do you want to take the shot that really, really hurts, or you can take a mist? You know, the flu is a flu mist. The kid's like, it goes in my nose? That's awesome. I love that. Now, from what I understand, the mist actually has a higher form. Flu shots have flu in it, but it's actually more contagious. My son happens to have a low immune system. He had, unfortunately, he was in the hospital when he was little. And that's what she did. So all of a sudden, not but 2 hours later, my son calls. And he's like, hi, Mom, I really don't feel well. Like, what happened? So now we don't know. So, you know, you don't have a lot of time when you call from the jail of school. When they let you call, you don't have a lot of time, you know. So we come picking him up and like, what's wrong? What happened? He's like, I don't know. So he doesn't say anything yet, but he got the flu. And we're like, that's weird. And so now, what's the first thing you think of when a kid says he has a headache? He's got Corona. Everything. Do anything. In my house, you sneeze, everybody, instead of saying, God bless you, our new thing is Corona! You know, like, don't sneeze anymore. Yeah. So we finally get at him. He's like, oh yeah, I got this flu mist. So my wife looks it up quickly and she sees that he has exactly what he had. He had for 24 hours a fever. I couldn't go to school. I was going to go to school the next day. What? 100%. What's my point?
It's also not contagious of anything.
What?
It's also not contagious.
No. Right. No.
Reaction.
Yeah. It's a reaction. People get reactions. It happens to be, what's amazing so far with Corona is that most people's reaction is like a sore arm, which is an amazing thing.
It's just in the spikes. That's the whole thing. The mRNA is just in the spikes.
Right. So it could be in the second shot they tell you that you have to, you know, for a week you should, for example, I'm thinking now about travel. They say you shouldn't travel for a week because things could happen. I spoke to a doctor about this. It's better not to travel for a week. And so also, like you said, the effects of it. But I think that ultimately, as Rav Asher Weiss said, the sakana is so low, kal v'chomer, that when it comes like this. However, there are poskim who say, as the Zera Emes ends, the Zera Emes, this Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, as he calls him, he had a back and forth tshuvas with another rabbi, and at the end he concedes and says, okay, sheva al tasa. Sometimes we say in halacha, if you don't want to get it, you don't want to get it. And there, Rav Asher Weiss said, I can't tell you, right? I'm not going to sign a letter saying there's a mitzvah. There's a chiyuv. I'll say there's a mitzvah to get the shot, the chisun. But I can't say that it's a chiyuv. Why? Because a person could do sheva al tasen for the rest of his life, live in his house. A person could say that. No, it's not logical.
Because then you're limiting yourself from other mitzvah. Well, you're putting yourself.
Correct. Out. But okay, fair. The Kafa Chaim.
In a way that you don't
have
social
distance and wear masks for the rest of your life.
You still got the rest of the world, right?
No, I'm saying, if you get to a point where like, that's
saying. Again, my Shiloh, which nobody answered yet, and I would like you to answer.
I don't get it.
Now that you're here, here's my Shiloh. My Shiloh is, how can you tell me, just explain the logic, why, as a frum person, is there a mitzvah to get, and you're talking to somebody who got it already, to get the vaccine, what, I understand I'm helping myself out, but how am I helping, I don't understand how I'm helping other people.
Other people can't get it. Because let's say you don't want to get it, right? So you don't get it. Then if you get COVID and you interact with someone,
right,
you can give it to them.
That's your saying.
If you have a vaccine, you have
excellent.
You decrease the chance of
thank you. Thank you for the explanation. Right. So the idea is, thank you. The idea is, I don't, you said that already? Okay, but his sounded better. Now you said you had asthma, so I didn't like your bit. Okay. So, yeah. So the logic is that if I get COVID, which is, you weren't here when I said this, which is rampant now in Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph, and look what happens, right? All of a sudden you get a notice, my daughter didn't do anything wrong, but Nebuch, she had a teacher who went on a hike with her and touched, and literally they were holding hands on the hike. Right, she was helping her get up, whatever, and that was it. She was in. Shockingly, though, she had COVID. Shockingly, my daughter tested twice, nothing. Right? We know how COVID works, right? Touched her mamish, right? And my son was in the capsule, in his capsule, right? You're correct. And now all you need is one person to get it, and that person is right. Or I mean, the better example is I go to Osharad. Right, and I really don't know I have COVID. I don't. Let's say a real person doesn't know. There are unfortunately stories of people who were walking around knowing. The same day, which Baruch Hashem, I'm happy that a newspaper had both stories. There was a story about a person who was, it was Yom Kippur, Nebuch. On Yom Kippur, there was a lockdown, right? You were allowed to daven in shul, sir. So this guy's going to daven, and the police are in Bnei Brak, and they stop him. They go, ooh, you look very similar to Chaim Yankel. They're like, no, I'm not Chaim Yankel. What do you crazy? Turns out it's Chaim Yankel. They go, you have COVID. You're not in quarantine. You have COVID. He's like, I know, but it's Yom Kippur. I have to daven. So they, whatever, they find him and he went back to his house. So now, that's a horrible story, but guess what? We got to be honest. And now reporting from Tel Aviv, they see a guy going surfing on Yom Kippur. They stop him and they say, wait a minute, you have COVID. This wasn't a Chiloni guy. It wasn't just, you know, don't blame the Hasidim all the time. I'm not talking about that. You go to Osharad, you go to the supermarket, and you didn't even know. And now you infect, like you just said, everybody in the place. Even though you had a mask, you know, of course it's possible. So you're correct. It's a very, very good logic. I was just going to frame this with what Rav Usher Weiss quotes from the Kaf HaChaim, of Yaakov Chaim Sofer. I love to quote him because when I had my first son, Yaakov Chaim Hartstein, I said, oh, he goes, I had the Sefer, one of the many Svarim my father bought me the Sefer. It's like the Mishnah Berurah for Sephardic Jews, before Rav Avadia Yosef made his Mishnah Berurah. But the Kaf HaChaim is a wonderful, amazing Sefer. So the Kaf HaChaim, Rav Chaim Palagi, one of the great rabbis as well, the Sephardic Gedolim, speak about the Chiyuv for a person to be vaccinated and that it will save the lives of kids when it came to smallpox and other things like that. And the percentage is very small in this, again, this is the Kal Vachomer of the percentage of deaths are very small in taking the vaccine. Here, there's zero. It's true that there are certain times that we as Jews are allowed to question doctors. And this is what I wanted to just kind of end with, this idea. He quotes, Rav Asher Weiss quotes, and this is an important fact, from the Sheol Shachus Kneches Yecheskel, Rav Katzenbogen, who has the following Chiddush. He said that there was some sort of, now we understand what this means, but it was hard to understand what this meant. There were certain doctors who were coming out saying that this, there was a certain virus, I don't know in that day what it was, I think cholera, and that epidemic, he tined, right? Rav Akiva Eger famously came up with a chiddush, not as a doctor, saying that he's very nervous about this epidemic and pandemic, whatever, and therefore in shuls he demands that you have to now close every other seat. People should be socially distanced. Nobody ever knew this. So there were doctors who said that this cholera can be airborne. So the Knesset Yecheskel questions that there are times when we can question doctors. The Maimon Mordechai brings this a number of years later when also in 1873, he quotes in the name of his uncle, he says, I'm so happy that my uncle, who I once heard when I was a kid, the Yeshua Yaakov, says that he ushered people from fasting. And even though the doctor said, it's probably going to be okay, he didn't want to take a chance. This is a famous chiddush of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, which was that we are machmir when it comes to pekuach nefesh. And that he was famously known for literally feeding people on Yom Kippur. He would go to their houses because they were suffic pekuach nefesh. Yom Kippur doesn't, and there are were many Shilohs this year. There were Shilohs this year with Tisha B'Av, people who had certainly Tisha B'Av, which were more Makel on, but Tisha B'Av and even Yom Kippur, people who actively had Corona, who had to eat because of that. Then there was a different poskim said different things. Some of the Sephardi poskim came out and said, no, if you're in quarantine, you could eat during Tisha B'Av. So everybody wanted to be in quarantine. But, right, if you had corona but no symptoms, different things that came out. But the bottom line, which is an interesting point, is that we don't always trust the doctors. It's not a true thing. In fact, I would say even more recently, this is very, very interesting, is that sometimes doctors are much more machmir than is necessary. For example, doctors, because of malpractice, are not allowed to say certain things. Generally, they won't tell a pregnant woman, oh yeah, Yom Kippur, you could totally fast. Because what happens if she fasts and God forbid something happens, which was actually the case way back when. I remember when my first child, when Yaakov was, my wife was carrying Yaakov, so it was Tisha B'Av. My wife wasn't, she was due in November, so let's say that was the seventh month. Seventh month is a little bit scary. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik at the time was very, based on his grandfather, was very makel and said she didn't have to fast. And just then, there actually was a tshuva that came out. We just quoted Rav Sternbach earlier. A tshuva from Rav Sternbach saying in a case of a woman who's nursing who might lose her milk that she could so and so forth. So I thought maybe you could draw, and I remember Rav Neuberger, one of my rebbeim at the time, still today, remember back in the day, I faxed it to him because it was a new tshuva that just came out. He was in Camp Misora, and he said that I don't think it applies. It's not the same case. So it happened to be I was talking to, I used to daven in the Yeshiva Gedola of Tinek at the time, Rav Chaim Cohen, great Gadol, was there. He said to me, he's a Gera Chassid. And he told me the story of the Gera Rebbe that to once paskin for a woman that she didn't have to fast Yom Kippur, and right after Yom Kippur, she lost the baby. And from then on, he became super, super lenient about fasting. Again, not in all cases. For example, if the woman's 9 months anyway, what's the difference? Is she going to have the baby or she's going to? What's the thing? It happened to be that for one of our children, my wife was told, this is my wife, I'm just trying to think which kid, Yonatan. Yonatan was born, I don't want to give you the end of the story, but he was born on the 10th of Av, which turns out that his bar mitzvah, which is in 2 years, as actually his bar mitzvah is Yom Kippur, is Tisha B'Av, right? Because it's Nitka. It's an interesting Shailah in Halacha. Eliezer has a gorgeous tshuva on it, speaking about whether he's chayav to fast or not. Because his chiyuv of fasting was the day before. Really was Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av is not real Tisha B'Av. So now he's bar mitzvah, but why? It's an interesting Shailah. Of course, the bottom line is he's going to have to fast. Why? Because it doesn't look good that this bar mitzvah kid's not. Okay, fine. But technical Halacha, he might not have to. In any case. So Yonatan, the doctor said that even though my wife is overdue already, so overdue, what's going to happen? She fasts and what? She'll have the baby. It's like saying you shouldn't have Chinese food. You know, there's an apocryphal thing that's saying if you have Chinese food, it'll help whatever. So it happened to be that when we had Yaakov, my wife was induced, I think, after 2 weeks. So this is really a true story. There used to be a place in Teaneck called Hunan's. So we went to Hunan's of Teaneck. It's where on Cedar Lane. What's that other place called now? Estihana's there. Where Estihana's used to be, obviously had to stay Chinese according to the law. That's Japanese now, but fine. So used to be a place called Hunan's there. So somebody told us this, a proper, if you go, you get out right. So we get there, and the poisek over there, this Chinese guy comes up to us, and he says to us, he looks at us, and he says to us, "You look at you! You're going to have a baby boy. You have a baby boy." We didn't find out. We thought there was you're not supposed to find out. It's not true, but we thought that at that point. And he told us that. It was very, very weird. And then when we got the fortune cookie, which is Torah Mesinai. So the fortune cookie said, "This is really true. A new man will pop up in your life."
No, the guy wrote it in the
back. Right. And I remember when we were selecting. We decided to get a poo-poo platter type of thing and all different types of things. So it was A or B, and my wife said, "Oh, let's get the B one." And the guy's like, "I told you you're going to have a boy, B for boy." And then when we had the baby, we had the boy, we're like, "Oh my God, this guy's a goyin. He's an adir." So we decided to have my son's pidyon haben at Hunan's, and he was the kohen. No, okay. No. So, but what was the point of the story? I'm going back to, so the doctor said, maybe you should fast, maybe you should, right? So there was a frum doctor, and she said, I would understand because it's going to be uncomfortable. Maybe you shouldn't fast. But my wife decided she's going to fast. So now it's Tisha B'Av morning, at night, you're not really fasting, right? She wakes up in the morning, she was a little bit thirsty. She happened to be, because she was overdue, I think maybe even every day or maybe other day, she got, you would go to a baby center, and they would put you on a monitor for like 5 minutes to see if the baby's heart rate, everything's okay. So she goes to the thing, and what? Ultrasound, yeah. So is that what they call it?
Yeah.
It wasn't ultrasound. No, it's a monitor that they put on, and it goes like this. The ultrasound is what you see. This was just a thing they put on you, and it shows the baby's heart rate and stuff. So it was one of the first years here where we're in the new building in Leva Torah, and my brother-in-law David Rabbi Gottlieb was giving the he was the one doing all the, and my parents were here because we were going to have a baby, and I'm sorry to be honest with you, but Kinos is, you know, not the greatest, not the easiest thing to be excited about sitting for. And my brother-in-law was actually doing a thing, I think it was going to be the whole day until Chatzos. And literally, we just finished davening. My brother-in-law just started the words. Okay, I'm going to give an introduction for about a half hour. What Kinos are, and the phone rings. And it's my wife. And I'm like, yes. And she calls me and she's like, Daniel, you need to come home now. We need to go to the hospital. I'm like, I love you, Hashem. This is amazing. So what happened? My wife went to the doctor, and then they were monitoring the heart rate. The heart rate was actually lower than it should have been. By the way, partly because my wife didn't eat that day. So they told her right away to have something to eat. Fine. So we go to the hospital, and this is a really bad story. This is Yonatan's, my first child in Israel. So my wife and I couldn't decide between Hadassah and Shaarei Tzedek, which one to go to. People have different things to say. Shabbos is better Shaarei Tzedek because, it's firmer, whatever it might be, but Hadassah is more goth a bit if there's a problem with the baby. Anyway, my wife said, I can't make decisions in life. I'm shocked that I decided to marry you. That was a mistake. But you make the decision. So I said, I think the decision's obvious. I'm not going to flip a coin here. Hadassah has so much better food. They have this huge food court, and I think that's important. I'm going to be there for a while. It makes sense. You know me, guys, right? And at that time, Shaarei Tzedek had hardly any food. So we go to the hospital, and as I'm driving, I'm thinking to myself, this is hilarious. I said, Hashem really is getting me back because it's Tisha B'Av. I can't eat anything. It's terrible. Anyway, what was funny, not funny, about the story was that my wife went there. She was very quickly, they monitored her, and they said, you need to do the following. This is almost funny. She says, you need to go downstairs, go to Aroma, get yourself a iced coffee, because those iced coffees have so much sugar in it, and drink an entire thing. The baby's heart rate's got to start moving a little bit more. So I'm going down. I'm so mad. I'm like, she's getting it, and I can't get anything. And I remember, because it was before Chatzos, and I remember, it was a waiting room. You have to sit for a while. So I wouldn't sit on the chair. I was sitting on the floor. So it was a funny thing. So I'm on the floor. I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's Tisha B'Av. Like, it's Israel. Like, nobody thinks you're crazy. People sit on the chair. Nobody cared. And then I said to my wife, wait, I'm crazy. Look at you. My wife was wearing, instead of like normal canvas whatever shoes, those were the times where Crocs were very popular. I said, I was wearing Crocs. Where are your Crocs? She was wearing these like slippers. She's like, you told me that Rav El Yashav just came out with a tshuva that said that you can't wear Crocs on Tisha B'Av because he said they're too comfortable. People said he misunderstood, but it was a whole thing. It doesn't matter. My wife said, I said, I know, I was telling you the tshuva because of how crazy it was. You guys asked me about Sturbel Struve about shaking hands. I was just telling how crazy it was. I'm wearing Crocs. She's like, oh, well, too late to tell me now. Fine. What turned out happening is, the point I'm telling you the story is that sometimes we don't necessarily go with doctors, right? I don't want to say because she was overdue, but she probably should have eaten, right? And the point is, Rav Asher Weiss says, is that doctor's advice here, sometimes, as we see, is not correct when it comes to this vaccine, where a lot of this information is misinformation. So if you have a family doctor, the question is a family doctor considered to be a...
But shouldn't you be machmir on the
doctor? No. So the question... No. I'm saying the other way around. If your family doctor says, you know what, you're a woman, obviously, you're 20 years old, you're a marriageable age, I don't know, I'm nervous about fertility issues. I know a lot of doctors have said this. I don't want to say the word ridiculous because what do I know? But there's no, it's so ridiculous to say that because the research is not out. It's like, well, wait 10 years to get the, well, it doesn't make any sense to say that. That's just, it's a fallacy of, there's no research that shows the other way. Why would you be machmir? Doesn't make any sense. Yes, it's true that there could be, of course it's true, anything can happen, that things can come out. Things can come out 20 years later. But that's not good enough. And then the question is, as Rav Schechter says, who's considered to be a mumche in this? Is your family doctor even considered? What did he do? He's not an expert in this. He read articles. Yeshkoyach. There are a lot of articles out there, guys. I could give you plenty of articles that say this doesn't mean anything. You shouldn't do this. It's causing more harm to wear a mask. Right? There's a lot of stuff. Unfortunately, because of the generation we live in, I can find anything about anything. Right? And, you know, if I want to, don't want to embarrass myself, and you know, I quote something, and after you come to me in shiur and you say, I don't think that was correct what you said. I'll quickly Google it and say, oh, yeah, I was talking about the Devar of Ram has a chiddush like that, because I found it on the internet. You know, like, you can always find a sheet that's to support you. So I think, sof kol sof, I completely understand where Rav Asher Weiss is coming from. I think there's a clear kal v'chomer here. There's a clear and present kal v'chomer that if at the time of, whether it was, you know, cholera or was, right, that we can be, again, as I quoted you before, some wanted to say that sometimes the doctors are too machmir. And I think in our generation, sometimes they're machmir l'chumra because they don't want to get sued. And then you have to determine if that's true. So when I spoke to these rabbis about my wife fasting, so it's over, they said, well, is the doctor just saying that because they don't want to get sued? I know a frum doctor in the same field who doesn't say that. It happens to be, I remember when I had my gallbladder removed. And I was having gallstones. So I said to him, I remember it was Tanis Esther. And I was having these attacks where it would be very, very painful. So I went to Rabbi Soloski and I said, I know, I just have to ask a question. You're supposed to ask your rabbi your questions, you know? I said, tomorrow, I said, do I have to fast? Call me. He goes, I don't know. But you know what? Let's ask Dr. Belzon. I love Shalom. He's a great doctor. He says, Dr. Belzon, what do you think? Dr. Belzon said, you know, I'm very, very makel, and I think women should fast. Oh, except for one thing. He says, gallbladder issues. He says, good gallbladder issues. When you fast, so it upsets if you're having gallstones, it upsets the gallstones and it causes an attack. So you should definitely eat. I went home then. I was so excited. First time in my life. I'm like pregnant, you know? I was so excited. I remember waking up in the morning. I davened. I came home to have that awesome breakfast. I couldn't eat. I was so mad. I was like, what am I, not religious? And I remember I washed. I don't know if I washed or whatever. I had a cereal, whatever it was. I had like a few bites. And I'm like, I can't do this. But if you have a chiyuv, you have a chiyuv. That's why Rav Chaim used to go around and feed people. Because they couldn't. I couldn't. How you talking? How can it be? Sometimes a person has to do that. So again, I feel that it's very sensible to say that the majority of, again, what I was trying to say before as far as Rav Schechter is that I don't think the medical research is anywhere close to it being, as I said, it's definitely not 50, it's not 64. I don't think it's anywhere close. I think it's 90 to something, that 90 something percent that everybody thinks that you should get this. And therefore, I understand saying that it's not a chiyuv, but I also understand to say that it's a mitzvah to protect the world. That's what it's all about. I'm Amish will end off just by saying what Rav Asher Weiss ended with, which is very sad. He says, I don't know what happened. He says, when Pesach rolled around, I was so impressed with the nation of Israel, specifically here in Israel. We kept to the letter of the law so strict. It was amazing. Everyone, right? We had our seders in our house and we couldn't invite our grandmother and we had a daven on our porches and it was terrible and we cared so much. And as time moved on, he goes, it's so sad to me that people just don't care. And there's so many people walking in the streets saying, I'm not getting, what should I get vaccinated for? I don't care about myself. I'll be fine. And he says, how do you not care? You have to care. And therefore, you have to do this. And he doesn't understand why people just don't care. It's an interesting thing just to investigate how, you know, times move on. Yes, part of it is with time, just like the fake Seger, you know, the joke, I saw a very funny meme of, you know, the first Seger, everybody's running to get toilet paper. The second Seger, right, everybody's, what was it? Everybody was not running to get toilet paper. What was the second one? I forgot what was the second one. Everybody was scared or whatever. And the third one, everybody's sitting in traffic saying, wow, there's so much traffic today because nobody cares. Nobody listens. Nobody's following any rules. It's not a good excuse. We're Jewish people. We have to say, this is what the laws are. This is what we should do. That's what I think.